Hallelujah. As well, not as usual, but as often happens, you know, you start out and you're thinking that the Lord is taking you in a particular direction, and you get excited about it. I do. Every time he pops something in, I get excited to the point where I have my phone set where I can just hit a button on my sync system and just talk in notes as I'm driving along. Because thoughts come in, and so I just speak them into the phone. And then I sit down and to see how it's going to come together, and the next thing I know, I'm in a whole different place. Okay. But it's always a great trip. So we're going to talk tonight what he told me at, I don't know, when did I call you, Don? It was about 7:28 or something tonight. I said, I think the message title is this. Okay. So it's a revelation moment, okay? That's the title, a revelation moment. Let's start at John 3:16, and then we have our a confession that we're going to read based on 1 Corinthians 13. Okay. John 3, let's read verse 16 and 17 out loud. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And now before we look at the screen, I want you all to turn to your left and wave at Pastor Sarah and say, happy birthday. Okay. It's reading this and it was like, you didn't say happy birthday to Pastor Sarah. I'm like, okay, we'll fit it in right here. Not gonna forget Mom. Right. But now just look at the screen, just confess this with me, okay? Pardon my back. I am a believer. The love of God is evident in me. Therefore, I am kind. I am not envious. I don't boast, brag, or strut about. I am not arrogant. I am never rude, crude, or indecent. I am not self-absorbed. I am not easily upset. I don't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice. I delight in truth. I put up with anything and anyone that comes along. Let's read that part again. I put up with anything and anyone that comes along. I will trust, hope, and endure no matter what. Do you believe that? Amen. And it'll reflect in your everyday life. You're walking around, going to work, eating, sleeping, everyday life. Now let's go to Matthew 16. God started something Friday night. A Sunday evening, rather, and he's not finished yet. I'm going to read verses 13 and 19 out of the New Living Translation, so please follow along. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." King James says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." Say, revealed this to you. "You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Church, we are built on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's important that we get that because everything that we do in this life should be based on that truth, that we believe Jesus is the Christ. See, we'll have no problems with what we just confessed if we have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Because since we know he's the Christ, we're always going to love the way he tells us to love. Why? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. We have to do what he said. Circumstances are going to come. Situations are going to come. They're going to come to everybody that's a human being. And we all need to develop that mindset that when something happens, we have a revelation moment where we realize, hey, wait a minute. Jesus is still the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I'm still the church. And the gates of hell still can't prevail against me. We have to have that revelation moment, because if we don't, we'll give in to anything that comes. Every circumstance that comes will knock us down. So we're going to look at an account. It's a very familiar account. He just showed it to me differently. We're going to start in John 11. I'm in the King James. It says, now a certain man was sick. What was his name? Are we there? Did I give you the right verse? Okay. Beg pardon? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm starting at verse. This says 11, but I think it's verse 1. Yeah. How'd 11 get in here? Yeah. Yes, John 11, verse 1. Okay. So now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be manifested. Now, you're one of the disciples, and you heard the same word, you know, Lazarus is sick. Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. What are you thinking? You know, that you heard him say, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified. That's what he said. That was his response. My question is, how come everybody didn't start jumping up and down? Saying, glory to God. This is going to be exciting. Because the Christ just told them that even though Lazarus is sick, and for him to say it's not unto death, they must have used some more adjectives before sick. And Jesus said, this sickness isn't unto death. God's going to get the glory, and I'm going to be glorified in this. And you are his disciples. You would think that they would be excited about it. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode, that's right, he loved them, heard they were sick, and he still abode 2 days in the same place where he was. See, folks, we can't get so in a roar when we hear something, we just jump up and go. We have to find out, what am I supposed to do? When you hear that kind of news, the first thing you want to have is a revelation moment. You just look up, you know something? I didn't hear the sound of God falling off his throne when this news was shared with me. So God must still be on the throne. And if God is still on the throne, Jesus is still Lord. And if Jesus is still Lord, then the devil is still defeated. So I don't have to jump up and run because someone brought some quote-unquote bad news. I like the way Pastor Jesse and Pastor Lakeisha put it. They just gave you some intel. That's all. They gave you an intelligence report so you know what the enemy is doing. Okay. Then after, he said to his disciples, let's go into Judea again. Now, they weren't too pleased with that because they knew their lives would be on the line if they went back into Judea. Matter of fact, the disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? And I'm like, wait a minute, they're talking to the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why are they concerned about what people might do? Jesus wasn't concerned. You know why? He knew who he was. And when he knew, since he knew who he was, it didn't, and he knew what his purpose was, and he knew who his Father is, and he knew that nobody or nothing was greater than his Father. So if his Father sent him on an assignment, there wasn't going to be anything that could stop him from completing that assignment. So you go without a care in the world if you have that revelation moment, okay? Let's drop down to verse 11. These things said he, and after that he says to them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. But see, Jesus was speaking of his death, and they thought he had spoken of like taking a nap. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now let's think for a moment what Jesus had said prior to that. The first thing he said was, this sickness is not unto death, but that God will get the glory and the Son of Man be glorified. And he says, we're going to go wake him. He said, look, Lazarus is dead. One of the disciples should have screamed out, cowabunga! And everybody jumped up and started dancing around. Because they're walking with the Christ who said, this sickness is not unto death, but Lazarus is dead. So you don't know what's going to happen, but you know something spectacular is about to happen because Jesus can't tell a lie. So that means it's true, Lazarus is dead. But it's also true that that sickness is not unto death. So if the sickness is not unto death and Lazarus is dead, something has to happen because he can't stay dead. We have to understand that. So I started thinking about it, and I was like, you're right. They should have all been jumping around into a Holy Ghost dance. Just like you should. Anytime the person on the floor, you know, calls something out and calls somebody down, everybody should get excited because you know God is about to do something spectacular. Instead of waiting to see what's going to happen before you get excited. See, the moment, there's someone that has a headache. You have a revelation moment. The Holy Ghost is about to move on that person's behalf, and you start getting excited because you know whoever it is, they're not going to leave with that headache. And you're excited for them. Okay, so for whatever reason, They really didn't have the revelation that Jesus was the Christ. But then here it is. In verse 15, not only does Jesus tell him Lazarus is dead, he says, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Then said Thomas unto his fellow disciples, okay, let us all go that we may die with him. Great man of faith, as Pastor Clinton used to say. How do you believe Jesus is the Christ and think you're going to go somewhere and get killed? Okay. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem. Well, verse 17 I skipped because this is key. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, meaning Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, I did a little research. I'm not going to gross anybody out. But after 72 hours, some interesting things start happening, okay, to an unembalmed body. So I can imagine after 96 hours what would happen. But Jesus didn't say, oh, man, I was too late. It's been 4 days. I needed to at least be here by day two. But Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Can I take a little quick side journey? The people came to do what? Comfort. So when we come together, when we find out that you know, someone's loved one has gone home to be with the Lord, we come to comfort. So how do we give them comfort when we come and we fall all out wailing and rolling on the floor? You know, if we come to comfort, then that's how we come. We come to comfort, not add to the grief. Okay? Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know, say I know, that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Another question I have for you is, do you think she meant what she just said? Okay. All right. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. Mary's response, Martha's response, was what? Same question I asked before. She said, I know whatever you ask of God, he'll give it. Jesus answers, your brother shall rise again. Mary, Martha should have had a fit, running all over the place, jumping up and down, spinning around, doing cartwheels, doing everything because her brother is about to be raised from the dead. But what does she say? She doesn't have a revelation moment. She says, I know he's going to rise in the last day. Then Jesus said something that I thought was just phenomenal, and that's not even strong enough. I'm looking at Jesus and I'm saying, yeah, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection. Jesus looks and says, I am the resurrection. Now, I'm going to tell you what else he said, but no one should have heard it. The minute he said, I am the resurrection, there should have been a roar all over the place because now they know. They know. They should be running to the cave, pull the stones away. Lazarus is getting ready to walk out. Why? Because Jesus is the resurrection. But they didn't do that. Didn't have the revelation moment. She missed it. He said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, although he were dead, yet shall he live. That was another revelation moment. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And Martha was still standing there for him to ask her this question. Okay. I'm serious. God started showing me this, and I'm sitting in my office having a fit, and I'm like, why is she still there? I'd have been off telling everybody. Jesus would have run behind me saying, wait, I'm not finished telling you yet. Okay. He asked her a question, believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. My question is, when I read that, it's like, now you think she got it. She just said, I believe thou art the Christ. And when she had said so, she went her way and called her sister secretly. And I'm like, why was it a secret? You said you just believe that Jesus is the Christ. And the Christ just said, your brother shall live again. What's the secret? And not only does she keep it a secret, she doesn't even tell her sister the truth. She said, the master has come and calleth for thee. He never called for her. Okay? Look at Luke 4. Let me show you something. It goes in line with what I said a few moments ago about going to give comfort. Verse 18. This is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. So we're sent to build folks back up that have been broken down by calamity. Well, what's calamity? Death of a loved one is considered a calamity. So we're called to build them up. We're called to bring them hope. When I was reading this, I realized that Martha didn't do anything to give Mary hope. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because of the way Mary went to Jesus. She said the same thing that Martha said. If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. No hope. See, when we have the revelation, when we really have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, it'll cause a change in our attitude. It will. Our entire disposition will change. The words that come out of our mouth will be different. The thoughts that we allow in our heads will be different. What? Because we have the revelation. We know who Jesus is, and because we know who Jesus is, we know who we are as the church. And so there should be something very, very different about us. But that wasn't the case here. We'll pick up at verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, okay, these are the ones that came to comfort, they're all crying, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And I had to look up that word troubled. Said his mind was perplexed by someone suggesting scruples or doubts. I mean, that thing is like scruples. What is, okay? This is what scruples is. A moral or ethical consideration or standard that acts as a restraining force. or inhibit certain actions. Because they didn't have a revelation moment, their faith was inhibited. It was restrained. And they couldn't, and Jesus, it troubled Jesus that they couldn't believe who he is. Especially at that moment, and after everything they had witnessed of him up to that point. Said he was troubled by that. See, when you fail to get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, you'll be inhibited. Your morals and your ethics may change. Change to what? Look more like the world, whom you believe in. Our character is always going to demonstrate our belief, or as people say, our belief system. We believe, we have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, we'll act like it. If we don't believe it, we'll act like it. If you believe you need to worship a pet rock, you'll act like it. I mean, that's what, whatever it is, you get the revelation, it's going to show in your behavior. That means there's some necessary things that you won't say as a believer because you don't have a revelation moment. You're not sure. Or you want to be sure. Or you think, well, what if? So you won't go where Jesus wants you to go. You won't do the things that he's telling you to do because you don't know what's going to happen. Or because no one has done that before. Or what are they going to think about me if this doesn't work? What are they going to think about you if it does? Okay. Neither one should matter. It's one thing I got from that poem, Mommy Made Me Learn. Every time I got in trouble, I'd get whipped and have to recite the poem If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, I said, yeah, right, I understand that part. I'm getting whipped. Okay. But you have to understand, the people that were closest to Jesus, the disciples, the two that he loved, that Martha and Mary, they should have known. They should have had the revelation as to who he is. And they didn't have it. And all of the other people there needed for them to have it. Think about this. I thought that was amazing. This is amazing. Verse 35. After Jesus, you know, saw all of them crying, he wept. He wasn't sad over Lazarus because he knew Lazarus was about to come back to life. He wasn't sad about that. He was weeping at the unbelief of all of the people there. Sometimes, you know, it helps me to understand because I can understand now how Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah used to feel when they'd see us, you know, acting like a fool and knocking our heads around and just not making it after they've poured all the truth they know into us. And it's like, when are they going to get the revelation? You know, as spiritual parents, Pastor Ed and I are learning that can be something you have to deal with. Because you have to guard against getting overly emotional because you have so much love for the people. It's like, what else can I do? You know, what size hoop do I need to jump through? You know, for you to just get the revelation as to who Jesus is and who you are in Christ. So I apologize, Pastor Sarah, for all this stuff that I did. Okay. No, I'm laughing, but I'm serious. Y'all don't know. Okay. Right. But the Jews there, when they saw Jesus crying, they said, behold how he loved him, talking about Lazarus. And some said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? I mean, that's what, you know, and they weren't whispering one to another, right? But their faith was inhibited. So they couldn't think anything else. They didn't have a revelation moment. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, okay. Okay, the sister of him that was dead said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'd been dead 4 days. And I'm like, what difference does it make? Jesus said, he shall rise. If he was dead for 4 weeks. God said, I shall supply your every need. Why are you fretting? Because you think there's something you need that you're not going to get. When you have a promise from God who cannot lie, that he will provide. You need to have that revelation moment and change your language, change your posture, change your behavior, and have it all line up with the truth that your God shall provide your every need, just like he said. I'm not going to tell you again about what happens to a body, okay? But Jesus said to her, saith her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew, past tense, faith statement here, I knew that thou heareth me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe, that they'll get the revelation that you have sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead and decomposing, all right, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him. And I'm still wondering why the Bible doesn't say, and the whole place went berserk. I mean, I'm serious. Because now every doubt that you had is dispelled. Because Lazarus comes walking out of the tomb after 4 days being dead. Not in a deep coma, dead. Dead. And now he's not dead anymore. There should have been a celebration. That's why we need to celebrate. Just the thought of what God is about to do should get us going. But what absolutely, with all of the things that went on there and all of the unbelief that was present, what absolutely amazed me is this next verse. It says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary, you know, the comforters, okay, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. How come it doesn't say all? I believe it were all, the Bible would have said all, but it said many. So that means even with all of that, there were some that still didn't believe. Why is that important? Too many of us stop doing what God told us to do because some of the people aren't getting it. Well, that's just the way it is. Why is it that when you, how many of you have ever popped microwave popcorn? Anybody? Okay, it's not a sin. It's not a sin. Folks are like, okay. Why is it that no matter how well you follow the instructions, there are always some kernels that don't pop? And if you attempt to pop them, you'll cause a fire in your microwave. So what about those kernels? They're not for you. For whatever reason, God didn't assign them to you. So why are you getting all in the roar? Because some didn't get it. Get excited about the ones that did. Because those are the ones that God assigned to you. Jesus didn't get upset. He didn't stand there and say, look at these fools. And not only did they not believe him, they ran back to tell the Pharisees. And they probably didn't give him an accurate account because they were out to get him anyway. But the key is, Jesus, no matter what was going on with the people, even those that were closest to him, even though they didn't seem to get it, it didn't deter him from his assignment. It didn't cause him to change his purpose. And it didn't cause him to start doubting who he was. Just because some of his best friends, so to speak, didn't see it. It didn't matter. What matters, folks, is that you see it about you. And you get the revelation that Jesus is the Christ and that you are the church. Founded on that revelation, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Look at Acts 4. I'm just going to look at a couple more. And we're going to just pick up at verse 8. This is when they were giving Peter and the disciples a lot of grief for the blind man being healed. I'm not the blind man, the lame man outside the gate beautiful. But it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done by to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. See, Peter, when being pressed by the people, he didn't panic. He had a revelation moment and told them, Jesus, Christ of the Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucify. It's by his name this man is whole. Then it's like, so now what are you going to do? I mean, that's what it is. They didn't kowtow. They didn't give in to all the pressure. They stuck to their guns. Why? They had the revelation. So there was no doubt. In Acts 5, again, disciples were arrested, and they took counsel as to what to do with them. And that's when Gamaliel, he stood up, you know, and told them, hey, you know, you better, you know, take it easy and be real careful about what you do to these folks. And he told them why. What's important is down in verse 38. It says, but now I say to you, refrain from these men. That's like, leave them alone. don't hurt. Just leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Okay, now, they didn't get spanked. They were beaten. Okay? If you watch any of you know, the Bible programs and things and watch, I mean, being beaten was not a pleasant thing. Okay? Most of the time they used cat nine tails, and some cat of nine tails were like strips of leather when they had little pieces of rock and stuff on them. And when you got hit with it, it was designed to separate flesh from your body. Okay? But it said, when they had agreed, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The Pharisees thought that whipping and threatening would cause the disciples to have some moral and ethical considerations, and then causing actions that will inhibit their teaching. Well, it didn't work. You know why? They had the revelation as to who Jesus is and who they were in Christ. They had that revelation moment. They remembered. I can imagine as they were thinking, they're getting hit. Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still Lord. Doesn't say how many lashes they got. It didn't matter. It says they departed, okay? Now mind, they were beaten and threatened and let go. They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing. Why? They had the revelation. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily, every day, in the temple, and in every house. You need to think about that. You've just been beaten and threatened to do not teach in this name. And then they put you out. What do? You go into the temple and into every house and start teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Why'd they do that? They had a revelation moment. They knew who they were. And we need to understand, folks, that when circumstances happen and it looks like it's going to take us out, we just need to have a revelation moment and understand that no matter what we go through, Jesus will make sure everything is put back right. We just have to stay steady, because things are going to happen. Stuff is going to come. Persecution is going to come. Everything's going to come. But I'm going to end by sharing a few translations of Hebrew 12, first three verses. Wherefore, start with the King James. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, this is descriptive of Jesus now. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds. But think about what Jesus said. He knew who he was. He knew who his Father is. He knew what his assignment was. I'll read part of some of the other translations. Where is it? Philip's translation says, for he himself endured a cross and thought nothing of its shame because of the joy he knew would follow his suffering. See, he saw past what he was going through to the promise that God made him. We have to learn how to see past what were we taught? Push past the pain to what? to the promise. And you're going to have to push past it. We get upset because we can't go around it. No, folks, we're going to have to go through it. That means you're going to feel things along the way. It says, think constantly of him enduring all that sinful men could say against him, and you will not lose your purpose or your courage. Message Bible. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. See, that's what you need to learn. When stuff comes, you go, whatever. Oh, please. This is the best you can, come on. You're wasting my time here. All right. The Worldwide English Translation. He believed from first to last. Listen to this. What was put in front of him made him glad. What was put in front of him? What was in front of him? The end result. The end. What was put in front of you? The end result. That should make you glad, no matter what happened. Said he did not give up when the people nailed him on the cross. And I was thinking, you're going to get nailed along the way. Don't give up. Think about what was put in front of you. Amplified Bible. It says, he, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured. So he considered what he was going to become a prize. And it didn't, you know, when I watch, you know, commercials for some of these game shows, you know, A Minute to Win It, and these others, and you start looking at all the ridiculous things people do to win a prize. Okay, don't care how humiliating they look, but they're gonna win, you know, $1,000 or whatever it is. Well, I guess that's the price of their self-respect, you know. But you have something that's much more valuable that was set before you. And we need to learn how to keep our eyes focused on that and hold on to the revelation that what Jesus put before us, he equipped us to achieve it. We just can't quit. I think I have just one more. Let me make sure. Yep, one more. Big fingers. Contemporary English version. Such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let us go. Now, this said we must get rid of everything that slows us down. That even means the things that may not be considered sin. But if it gets in the way of what you're supposed to do, it can very easily become sinful for you to do it. So if you know, I mean, even for me, I went out and I joined a new health club because I need to get in the gym, and just having this extra weight is slowing me down. If I wanted to jump up and do a black backflip, I'd do a back flop. Okay. Not that I'm going to try and do it 20 pounds from now. Okay. But it slows me down. It does. And I know it's just carrying around too much weight. So yeah, let it go. Can't run as long. Why? It wasn't designed to carry this much weight. So if you got to get rid of some weight, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You may like watching Touched by an Angel. Good, wholesome program. But if that slows you down from doing what God has told you to do, you need to cut it loose. Whatever it is, See, when we read those things, we just think about, you know, what the Bible considers sin. We need to look at it as anything that's preventing us from doing what God has called us to do to us is sin. That's where we need to look at it, because we have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go, and we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross because he knew that later on, he'd be glad that he did. Has anybody ever done something that you regret this day that you did it? Okay. Have you done some things that you're happy now that you did? Okay. Well, see, that's what Jesus looked at, what he had to go through. And he looked at what was on the other side of it. And his attitude was, this is too good for me to lose by concerning myself with this. It's just too good. So it didn't matter what he had to go through. And remember, he's our example. The only difference, really, the only difference, he had the revelation, or I should say, he maintained the revelation as to who he is and who his Father is. We jump in and out of it. We do. And we need to get it and keep it and allow it to change our lives, change our habits. Just like that song, we'll be changed into his image by the Spirit of God from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation. Well, how do you get to revelate? Act on what he said. That's all. And you'll see everything that he said come to pass. You don't call, I remember vividly, I'm going to sit down in a minute, but I remember vividly the very first time I saw someone's leg grow out. Pastor Sarah called them out. They were having a problem with the hip. And she went, she looked at it. Bring this chair out here. And I'm sitting, I'm like, what is she about to do? And she picked up her legs, and I mean, it was clear. One leg was about like this. And she just said, Father, this leg needs to come out. I'm sitting over there, and I see this leg go. Just like that, I'm like, how did that happen? She has the revelation as to who she is in Christ. That's all. And when you have that revelation, you step out there and you do what you're prompted by the Holy Ghost to do. Not that you think it might work. There's no doubt, because it's God. Even if the woman's leg didn't grow all the way out then, she wasn't going to leave this place without it happening. I never saw her get discouraged if something didn't happen immediately. And I would think about that. And I'd say, she must really believe this works. I said, I have to get to that place. I have to get that same revelation as what I used to think. Well, now I have a decent sized portion of it. Okay. I don't think I have it all. And I don't know if we'll ever really get it all. But I'm going to operate in what I have, because you can't convince me that it doesn't work. I believe, matter of fact, why don't you say this to your neighbor? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I also believe I am the church, and I'm founded on that revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And according to the Christ, the gates of hell will never prevail against me. And I'll just give him a praise. Amen. I'm done. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. All glory and all honor and all praise go to you. Father, when we think about it, and it really appears it be so simple, and the more we think about it, it really is. It's just accepting a simple truth. You sent Jesus to die for us. So if we can believe that we're saved, then we can receive the revelation that Jesus is the Christ and act like it all of the time. We thank you, Lord, for every single opportunity that's coming for us to demonstrate that we have the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And we put the enemy on notice and let them know that we are no longer backing down, backing away, but we're moving forward. We know who we are. We know what to do. We know what to say. And we will not walk away from our responsibilities anymore. Thank you, Father, for just laying it out so that we could understand it. In Jesus' name, amen.